Well, there's been a lot of concern about international travel and trade as a result of Ebola, but there's another unwelcome side effect to so much global movement, the spreading of non-native weeds, pests, and animals, often dealt with through herbicide spraying or targeted hunting. But in Oregon, about 200 people are trying another control method. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, Tom Bonsi explains.
Chefs and adventurous diners converged on a banquet hall at an Oregon vineyard.
This is a piquillo pepper stuffed with crayfish, the invasive type of crayfish, not the native ones.
Chef Matt Bennett of Albany, Oregon, led off the gastronomic adventure.
This one is dandelion green spanakopita.
The point of this affair was to highlight the range of edible invasive weeds, birds, fish, and mammals around us. These invaders are costly to control. They crowd out native plants and animals and can change entire landscapes. One slogan heard here, if you can't beat them, eat them.
And then this one is our house-made wild boar sausage that we're cooking in Sky High Brewing's berry invasive ale.
And those are just the appetizers. Still to come, buttermilk fried bullfrog legs, braised wild boar with Himalayan blackberry glaze, and Asian carp boulettes. None of these are native to this area. Diners Rose Maria and Greg Mann sampled deep-fried nutria. That's a rodent native to South America. However, this one was trapped locally.
The nutria was a little chewy, but it was very tasty.
Maybe a little less, maybe a little more tender than a rabbit, though. Okay. It was good. I enjoyed it.
So can you see them becoming popular ever?
They'd have to do some kind of heavy PR for the nutria. They're not really pretty looking, and yeah, no.
The title of this annual dinner is Eradication by Mastication. But even the group putting on the gala says we can't get rid of the invaders by eating them. Tom Kay directs the Institute for Applied Ecology.
The problem's too big for that. And also the parts of some of these things that we eat, some of the plants, if we just say, for example, collect blackberries, that does not eradicate blackberries. You need to mow them or do more in order to get blackberries out.
You know gumbo?
One of the celebrity chefs on hand made an energetic case for mastication. Philippe Parola from Louisiana demonstrated for a rapt audience how to butcher a nutria and fillet an enormous carp.
I'm turning the beast to some serious money here.
Chef Philippe says harvest pressure could keep invaders like this in check.
And when I hear that cooking the problem is not the solution, well, I'm not saying it is a solution. But it can be part of the solution. And if you give us a chance, and if you work with us, I guarantee you we can make it a heck of a solution.
The big three Parola would like to see on more than a few menus are nutria, Asian carp, and feral pigs. In North America, introduced nutria escaped from fur farms and now are causing widespread environmental damage. Meanwhile, federal and state agencies in the Midwest are spending tens of millions of dollars a year to control the spread of several Asian carp species and keep the fish out of the Great Lakes. Feral pigs are spreading quickly, too, and are now found in about two-thirds of the states. Wyatt Williams, a member of the Oregon Invasive Species Council, hopes the invasives don't get too popular on dinner plates, though.
If people start to get a taste for Asian carp, then perhaps it could be turned into a fishery and maybe become popular and people won't want them to be eradicated.
Meat inspection and public health rules present another hurdle when it comes to wild game in particular. If you or your favorite restaurant wanted to buy wild boar chops or nutria nuggets, good luck finding them. The food safety system in the U.S. is not set up to handle wild harvested meat, according to several of the chefs at last month's invasive species dinner. For Here and Now, I'm Tom Bonsi near Salem, Oregon.